Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin. It's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease, and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage. River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique. Now back to the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
6207. Players that are actually good can play aggressive and violent without getting penalties. And they cost you $25 million a year. And in a salary cap league, you can't have 22 players of that. Like, you're going to have to find guys that supplement your pillar pieces. I would say Will Anderson's that kind of guy. I would say Daniil Hunter's that kind of guy. I would say that Derek Stingley's that kind of guy. And then you fill the pieces with guys that are, you know, maybe a little flawed. Maybe they're a little bit overly physical, but you want that in your system. I mean, let's not forget that Aziz was coveted by D'Amico Ryans. Let's not forget that D'Amico Ryans knew who Aziz Alshire was for multiple years. He coached him in San Francisco. You can't have superstar after superstar after superstar. It would cost you too much money in a salary cap league.
Yeah, I forget the term now in terms of, you know, you can't just expect that you're going to have everything, you know, massive max contract players and then absolutely nothing's around them. I mean, the supporting cast matters too.
Talking about a stars and scrubs approach?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and the fact is that the best general managers, the best teams are made up of the best meshing of talents. And I think that, you know, you go back to the Bulls championship teams. Well, you know, yeah, they had Michael and they had Scotty, and they had either Dennis or Kukoc, but they had Steve Kerr, or they had Paxson, or they had guys that did the little things and the dirty work and the other things. And to your point, I think you need the guys that, you know, have made a living in this league. That's why I said there are certain guys that have to play with a certain edge, because that's the only way they're still earning a paycheck. They're going at a certain level and a certain level of urgency that a lot of guys kind of don't have as they get older in their career, that have made money, that might have just been able to relax a little bit going, I'm going to play a couple more years and retire. I don't have the same kind of fire burning inside of me. You want guys like that on your team that are still playing for something.
Sorry, ain't sorry, but I want a few guys on my team that have an edge. Sorry, I do.
I think that's fine, and I think that I understand that. I think that, but you also have to have players that have an understanding of how far you can go.
I want a violent defense. It's two different philosophies. Like, you have your philosophy. I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I have my philosophy, and I don't think that you have to talk me into anything.
I'm not trying to talk you into it. I'm rebuttaling what you said to me.
About what I want for my defense. So I think you kind of are trying to talk me into anything.
I mean, but
something.
You did say yesterday within the rules, and that's where obviously we're
within
the
rules. But I also
right now with the Z's.
But I also understand whenever you have the most physical and aggressive defense in the NFL, you're going to be top five in penalties. It goes with the territory. You can't have the most aggressive defense in the NFL and be bottom five. It's not going to happen. It's impossible. Because of your style, because of what you're doing. It's like having a quarterback that's prone to turnovers and being okay with it, and then not expecting him to throw interceptions.
I hear what you're saying, but when you look in the Texans, obviously are ranked high in penalties this year, and were last year as well. But when you look at their penalties, I mean, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I'd guess more than half of them are on the offense. And we spent all season talking about the illegal formations, the false starts, all the illegal player downfield, all the problems they've had on offense. So I hear you that if you have this physical of a defense, if this is your identity, you're probably going to err on the side of picking up too many penalties. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's necessarily what the Texans have
been. Texans have the third most defensive penalties in the NFL this year.
Okay. All right. Well, then the point stands. But I don't know. Kind of reject the idea that you have to have only players that are capable of not drawing these penalties are the highest paid players.
I think
in the
league. It's a style of play. Like, if you're going to be this high octane offense, you're going to turn it over. If you employ James Harden and Russell Westbrook and you put the ball in their hands at all times, you're going to turn the basketball over as well. Like, you know what you're getting whenever you play with a certain style.
But I think that you could play, and I don't know this right off the top of my head, but I could, if you say the greatest defenses of all time, but if you say if the Ravens defense, or the, and maybe the Bears defense might be more of a team that would be likely to be penalized as well. If you say some of the greatest defenses in the NFL, I think that they played with an edge. Ray Lewis played with an edge, but I don't know that Ray Lewis was overly penalized.
Ray Lewis was a headhunter.
I don't know.
Several penalties.
I don't know if they were penalized. Yeah, from
a team,
too.
I know you don't know. That's why I'm educating you.
Oh, my God, man.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. River and Spring, you're in the Hive. What's up, River?
Hey, guys. Hey, Jeremy, Joel.
Hey, River.
What's up, man?
Hey, I do think that his hit was a little borderline. And I do agree with whatever Joel was just saying. I mean, a lot of those better defenses did get penalized a lot. Like, if you look at Legion of Boom, they were very heavily penalized, right? But they were one of the best defenses. Now, should he have gotten three games? I mean, there's a pretty obvious explanation there, which no one wants to go there, and you guys aren't allowed to say it. I can. I mean, the same reason that a coach who was 2-2 and then lost by less than one score to an undefeated Vikings team after his star quarterback threw three interceptions, got fired, and was supposedly playing for his career. I mean, the cleats that...
Okay, let's get to
that
it.
That Aziz had on are doing him no favors.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
okay.
Why...
Hey, we're not going there. We're not going there. Yeah, there were some shoes, cleats that Aziz had on that people were going to...
That's not why he got suspended three games.
No, it's not. We don't think he should have been suspended three games. I don't think that anything to do with him being suspended three
No, I think
games.
I've been the most critical of him, and I don't even think he should have been suspended three games.
What do you think he should have been?
I was fine with one. That was my guess. If they'd gone to two, I wouldn't have had an outcry. And I honestly do think, as you guys have pointed out, three gets settled down to two, and this probably is kind of a moot point in a week. But I did think it was at least extreme by a game.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page when it comes to that. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. A few texts on this. Johnson, Finnegan got no game, just a 25K fine. NFL is changing. There's no doubt that it's changed, and it can't go backwards because of player safety. It is hard to imagine that they were brawling on the field, though, and didn't get a game. That's pretty miraculous.
I mean, Andre was throwing punches to the back of his head.
That's
with
true.
Finnegan down on the ground.
That's very, very true.
He would have gotten... I mean, how many games would have he gotten if that fight happened?
Wait, he never got a one game?
No,
he didn't get suspended.
Oh, my goodness. That's hard to believe.
I wonder if the NFL took into consideration who Courtland Finnegan was. Like, yeah.
Well, they obviously take very close consideration to their reputation.
I can talk about a guy with priors, Courtland Finnegan.
Yeah, he had a reputation, too. Although, I mean, Johnson kind of... Well, I mean, Finnegan instigated. Johnson just kind of finished it.
No, but when you hear the story,
the backstory.
Andre was planning that out. That was premeditated.
Yeah, but Finnegan got under his skin in that game.
Sure. He was waiting for the moment, but it was premeditated.
He had done it, but then it was also like Andre tells the story about in the offseason, they were gonna brawl outside a club in Miami. And that it was still brewing with him to where that kind of led up to why when he knew Finnegan was going to do it again and he basically told Kubiak, this time I'm going to go get him. And Kubiak didn't say anything. At the point, what are you going to do? He's going to go do what he's going to do.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Why not ban the fake slide in the NFL so defensive players will have no doubt in their mind that a player is actually sliding? I don't think you get away with it legally.
They should, but then there is no escape route for the one position that they are hyper-focused on protecting. We see plenty of receivers making business decisions and trying to find a way. Tyreek Hill is one of the best at it, finding a way to get down without taking a big hit. But you look at that situation and take the slide away from Trevor Lawrence and say, tell me where the escape route is.
Well, just take away the fake slide, like we were talking about earlier. Like if you think the quarterback pulls a Mahomes, pulls an Allen, pulls a Kenny Pickett, it's 15 yards. I mean, I think that's the easiest, most logical answer to this.
713-780-ESPN. What are the dirtiest players in NFL history? Dirtiest plays in NFL history? John McClain said that he's never seen a dirtier player in his 48 years of covering the NFL. I want 100 dirtier plays. 100. Can we come up with 100 dirtier plays than what Aziz Alshire did on Sunday? What are the dirtiest plays in NFL history? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're locked in.
in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What are the dirtiest plays in NFL history? I want to come up with 100. 100. John McClain said it was the dirtiest play he's seen covering the NFL in his 48 years. What are the dirtiest plays? Let's get to 100. 713-780-3776. What do you have, Blankers?
I got a lot of them. I'm not going to get to 100.
I think we can get to 100. Go through them.
Okay. So I've got Vontaze Burfict on Antonio Brown.
Okay, one.
I've got Ndamukong Suh twice to different Packer players, kicking him in the junk, stepping on their heads. Then
also do that.
Then I was going to say, then I've got another one of them where he kicked Matt Schaub in the junk.
I don't know if that was intentional.
I thought it was.
Bull counter. We're trying to get to 100.
Albert Haynesworth stepped on a player's head without a helmet, gave him like 30-some stitches.
He knocked the helmet off initially with his cleat, and then it stepped on it again.
Yep. Charles Martin, who's now passed away, picked up Jim McMahon and body slammed him and is still villainized by Bears fans because of the impact that had on the Bears.
I watched that one the other day. That was pretty nasty.
Yep. Sean Taylor in the Pro Bowl.
Do you think that was dirty?
Punter. Oh, I mean, it was.
Hey, he wasn't out of bounds that though.
But I mean, it's the Pro Bowl.
Okay, Pro Bowl. That's.
It was Pete Rose in the All-Star game. Sure, but I wouldn't call it dirty. But
the irony of this though is that like Sean Taylor is like a hero because he laid out the punter in the Pro Bowl, and Pete Rose is a hero because he ran over the catcher
Ray Fosse,
in the All-Star game, and it's like. Okay, those guys are heroes because of it. Then you have Aziz borderline dirty, and he's like, a goat.
And Burfict had others as well. I think the one that's there's several. Ronnie Lott had a ton of them.
All right, let's go with three for Burfict, and we'll go with three more for Ronnie Lott. That gets us up to 13.
Oh, and then there's Lester Hayes. Lester Hayes all by himself should have a file. Lester Hayes.
How many we want to give him?
In
five?
A preseason game, I think one of the dirtiest hits of all time. He paralyzed Daryl Stingley.
That's not good.
For, I mean, a lifelong injury
in that.
A preseason game. It's Stingley's grandfather.
Yeah.
The fact that he paralyzed the guy and changed the rest of his life on a preseason game.
Okay.
That one to me is to John McClain saying that was, you saw that hit? You've heard about that hit? That's brutal.
I can't believe he said Aziz Alshire's hit was the most brutal hit he's ever seen. Okay, so that gets us to about 18. Kiko Alonso's hit
that
on
was
Joe
one of
Flacco.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yep.
I don't know this, but people in my mentions were saying he didn't get suspended a game.
Huh.
He didn't get suspended. Now, it was a different era. I mean, that was even though it's still Joe Flacco who's still playing.
We should put Runyon on there right now for the video that we've seen of at least two or three of
his. We'll go three for Runyon. That gets us to 22 more dirty hits.
Conrad Dobler with the cast that he had. He said he had a broken hand. They put a bowling ball-sized cast on his hand, and he would hit defensive linemen with it.
Who's this, Cowboy Bob Orton?
Nobody mentions Conrad Dobler more than Joel Blank.
Well, because I remember the video
going, his name
that's
ever
a
brought
weapon.
Up in any conversation.
He's weaponized the NFL.
He sounds like a dude in territorial wrestling. Myles Garrett, whenever he beat Mason Rudolph. I mean, that's easier. Way, way dirtier than what Aziz did. Do you have some others? Because I have three more.
No, good. Keep going.
Alex Gordon blindsiding a Dolphin kicker on a touchback. I don't remember the Dolphin kicker's name, and I was watching this on a video the other day. There was a Miami Dolphin that kicked a ball through the end zone for a touchback, and one of the dudes on the Bengals on the kick return team, Alex Gordon, he blindsided the kicker on a touchback. Blindsided him, trying to take him out. So that gets us to 25. And then DeShazer Everett. Whenever Darren Sproles was fielding a punt, he was camped out, called for the punt, and DeShazer Everett ran right through him helmet to helmet before the ball ever got to Sproles. Way dirtier than what Aziz Alshire did. All right, what do you have, Brian?
I mean, a lot of what I had was on your guys' list. One that got left out, which I'm surprised Joel left out considering it involved a Packer, but Warren Sapp in 2004 when he blindsided Chad Clifton, which eventually led to the confrontation with Mike Sherman on the sideline where they cussed each other out and nearly came to blows. Chad Clifton was never the same after that. That pretty much ended his career. So that was the big one I had that you guys haven't already mentioned.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a bad one. 713-780-ESPN. Dirtiest plays, dirtiest hits that you remember in NFL history. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Eric, you're in the high. What you got?
Hey, how you doing? Well, y'all done called mine already, but the next one I would say when Jack Pardee slapped Kevin Gilbright, was it?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't Pardee. Pardee was the head coach, but it was two coordinators. It was Buddy Ryan, right? Was it Buddy or Glenn?
Buddy Ryan, I'm sorry.
It was Buddy Ryan. Was
yeah. Buddy Ryan punched Kevin Gilbride.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
All right, Ryan. Yeah.
All right, appreciate it, Eric. I thought he had another one. Maybe not. Is that a dirty play, though?
No, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's
we're
weird,
missing but... a bunch of, like, Romanowski's had them. Mm-hmm. There's been safeties. There's been, we mentioned a couple of different guys, but all the different – the old Steeler players with Lambert and those guys, there was
– Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't see those, but yeah. Yeah, those guys were notorious for that. It was back whenever it was cool to do that. Like, people were – they were made out to be heroes for doing that. Pedro and Don Zimmer. Dirtier but wrong sport, so we're not going to count that one. 713-780-ESPN. Dirtiest plays in NFL history. Texter says, just pull up John Lynch highlights. Every play he was ever involved with was way worse. So let's give John Lynch two. We'll give him two.
Maybe more than Chuck Cecil.
All right, let's give him four. That gets us to 31. What did Cecil do?
Chuck Cecil had – he was a big, massive hitting safety for the Packers and Cardinals. He had several where he got
all right, let's give him three.
Letters from the league.
We'll
let's
be conservative. We'll be Karen Runyon was sending out letters back then. 713-780-ESPN. Texter says Vontaze Burfict had at least five plays that were worse than that. We mentioned the one on Antonio Brown, but we'll give him six more. That gets us up to 40 dirtier players than Aziz Alshire. Texter says no plays, just a name. Sue was vicious.
Oh, no.
We already accounted for him. Sean Taylor versus the kicker during the Pro Bowl. We mentioned that one. Romanowski spitting on a player. I think it was JJ Stokes whenever he spit on him.
I just know Romanowski had both physical and the spitting.
I'm pretty sure it was JJ Stokes. Could be wrong. He was I'm pretty sure he's a 49er though. The club hand. That's
he used that weekly.
It looks like his left hand looks like a Dobler.
It literally is almost the size of a bowling ball, and he used it as a weapon as an offensive lineman.
Texter says Gronkowski spearing a player who was on the ground. That was the one that I saw the other day. So that gets us up to 42. We're trying to get to 100 dirty plays that were dirtier than Aziz Alshire because John McClain had the worst take of the century. Mike Tomlin fake tripping dude running down the sideline. No doubt. That was a dirty play.
There was also a coach for the Dolphins that did the same thing, got fined like $25,000.
Really? Recently?
Yeah, no, it was. I would say in the last 20 years.
All right, let's count it. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line, trying to get to 100 here. It's like a telethon. Tyler, you're in the it's a telethon of dirty hits. Tyler from Galveston, you're in the Hive. What's up, Tyler?
I'm from Cincinnati, and I remember when I was younger, James Harrison taking out Carson Palmer's knees in the playoffs and pretty much ending his career in Cincinnati. Like, the 1 year the Bengals could have made it to the Super Bowl, it seemed like.
I remember that. Yeah, that's a good call. Appreciate it,
Tyler. I mentioned Harrison. He had that.
You know who that reminded
me of? He had
that
reputation for sure. Yeah.
Was it Bernard Pollard that took out Brady?
Oh, yeah, he did. Bernard Pollard. That was the year he got hurt.
That was the reason for the rule.
And I think he got somebody else, too, after that.
Did he?
I want to say he
was
did.
A little dirty.
Bernard
also.
Pollard is one
let's
of those guys
him,
who want to talk about playing
let's
with
give
a
him
head.
Three.
Texan.
We'll give him three. We'll give him up to 48. So we're up to 48 now. 713-780-ESPN.
You think about Lyle Alzado, Matuzak.
Who?
All these old Raiders no guys. You guys don't remember like the old them... Raiders defenses, but these guys on every play, all the Raiders defenses, they were yanking face masks, kicking guys in the grapes.
All right,
can we say Ronnie Lott to himself for cutting off his finger to go back in the game?
He did.
Somebody texted Ronnie Lott would be banned from the NFL. So yeah, we'll give your guys would. Three each. We'll give Ronnie Lott. I think we already counted for Ronnie Lott. Did we count for Ronnie Lott? I don't know. We'll give him one more for Ronnie Lott. 55. 713-780-ESPN. Back out to the HR&P listener line. Chris, what are the dirtiest hits ever? Ooh.
I was going to say an offensive player, Hines Ward, crackback, broke his jaw.
That's a great call.
Yeah, and he did that more than once.
Yes, he was
so
known
we'll give,
for that.
We'll give Hines Ward two. Crackback, I think he was the reason for the rule, too.
He was.
Because I think it was legal in his day.
Yep.
713-780-ESPN, dirtiest hits of all time. Back out to the HR&P listener line. Long. We'll get to him in a second. Who was that guy you pulling
that's,
each other,
what's
the hair?
His name? The ex-Texan
was
defensive
it Swearinger?
Lineman. No, 90.
Oh, Clowney?
Yeah, Clowney.
Clowney
pulling
Clowney's hair?
Pulling down a Bills running back by the hair.
All right, 58, Clowney pulling down a guy by the hair. Although that's legal. It's legal to do
it
that.
It is. Yeah, Ricky Williams used to have to deal with that.
Kind of smart if you can't bring him down any other way. All right, dirtiest hits in NFL history. Back out to the HR&P listener line. Long, you're in the Hive. What do you got?
Yes, sir. The linebacker from the Bengals gathers when he hit a Trent Green. It was a similar play to the Shazier and Lawrence play.
Okay, Rico gathers maybe?
That sounds right.
Okay. Well, that will count it. I'll take your word for it. You know who else got Trent Green? Travis Johnson.
Did he?
Yeah, Travis Johnson. I think you're holding with his knee.
Oh, I remember that. I remember asking Trapp about that. Someone called one day and asked him about that.
Yeah, he got he ear-holed him pretty good. So that gets us up to 60. 60 hits. We got 40 more to go. 713-780-3776. If you have multiples, that
would
really
help us. What
about
the one where Antonio Brown was returning the punt and he jumped up and spiked him in the face mask of the helmet with his cleat?
Do you think that would count as a dirty play? Or was he just trying to hurdle him and didn't quite get up that high?
I don't know.
Let's count it. We're trying to get to 100. 61-713-780-ESPN. Here are a few on the text line. Juju Smith hit on Vontaze Burfict. I don't remember that either, but I hope someone got him. 62. Bill Romanowski had like three. We already counted for Romanowski. The Colts making Pat McAfee throw the ball with only one lineman. Oh, yeah. Not really a dirty play, but yeah, that was a weird
one. What about Richie Incognito? Didn't he get a...
filthy. Yeah. Somebody texted in Incognito. Yeah, let's give him three. That gets us up to 65. 65 dirtier plays in NFL history. Don't forget someone took off Matt Schaub's ear. I don't remember that.
I don't either.
But I trust you. 66. 713-780-3776. Steve Atwater. Had several. He did. Yep. We'll give him two for the interest of fairness.
Yeah, the Matt Schaub. You don't remember the Matt Schaub play?
No, I don't remember the
That was a linebacker for the Broncos that hit him late. And it kind of, the way he grazed by with his helmet, like, tore part of his ear off. And
really?
And he continued. The Texans actually kicked the Broncos' ass that day. It was a great game. But, yeah, Schaub played with a chunk of his ear missing after the game, or during the game.
So there you go. That's gets to 69. Roy Williams with the horse collar tackles. I do remember those vaguely, but I don't remember how many. So we'll just go one there to be conservative.
Roy Williams of the Cowboys was pretty aggressive.
Yeah. Okay, we'll give him two then. 71 now. What other ones do we have here? You could probably go back and look at the Saints, the Bounty Gate.
Well, that's a good call.
Let's go. We'll go four for Saints Bounty Gate to get us to a round number at 75. They made the spearing penalty. They made spearing a penalty because what the Steelers did to the Oilers. Okay, we'll go two there because of the Steelers. Tanya Harding, that's the wrong sport, but yes, that was very dirty. But she cared about winning. She was trying to win a medal. Think about the games between the Cowboys and the Steelers and the Cowboys trying to tackle. Okay, yeah, we'll go one there, I guess.
Lawrence Taylor?
I mean, he broke Theismann's leg, but it was clean.
That was clean, but I'm saying, I mean, we're talking about defenders and defenses that are playing.
We'll give Lawrence Taylor two. How about Kyle Turley?
Turley, that's a good one.
Yep.
We'll go two for Kyle Turley.
He was another guy kind of, he didn't take the helmet off and hit somebody with it, but he chunked it across the field afterwards.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Bill Romanowski broke Kerry Collins' jaw. Okay, we'll count another Romanowski one there. Didn't Kenny Vaccaro light a quarterback up? Yep, I'll take your word for it. Yeah, he lit up a quarterback or two. Antonio Brown for front kicking the kicker. Jack Tatum taking out Lynn Swan. Okay, why not? It goes to 85. We counted a few Tatums, but you can never have enough Jack Tatums. Brian Cushing had at least two. Okay. It gets us up to 87. We're getting there. Anything Bernard Pollard. We mentioned him. We mentioned Ndamukong Suh. Dick Butkus. You remember any Dick Butkus hits?
I mean, I never saw them in person. Shocking, but Dick Butkus was pretty physical. And Urlacher.
Urlacher had some bad ones.
Urlacher and Singletary.
I don't remember one from Urlacher.
Urlacher and Singletary that he made several lists when I was looking at this up yesterday.
Anyone to touch Brady or Mahomes? That's funny. We all know that the NRG filter is the dirtiest player. That's a good call. They had been sued. Sean Taylor in the Pro Bowl. Yeah, we said that one. DeAndre Hopkins, German suplex tackle. I don't think that was illegal, though.
Anyone mention Brandon Merriweather?
No.
He got suspended three different times for bad hits.
Really?
Yeah, the Patriots safety. I believe he played at Miami.
Yeah, I remember the name. Yeah. I just don't remember any hits specifically.
I wish I could remember the specific play, but I remember he got suspended a few times.
Troy Polamalu, you remember him being dirty at all?
Yeah, I don't remember him being dirty, though. I mean,
I don't remember him being
physical.
Dirty. Yeah, I don't remember him being dirty there. So we'll not count that one, even though we're caught in a bunch. Anquan Boldin got his face broke after catching a pass from the Cardinals. I remember the play. I don't remember the hit, but whoever it was, you're on the list. 92, Woody Hayes, that was dirty. It's a good call. What a player, but it happened.
It was a penalty, right?
Had to have been, right?
Because he grabbed him by the face mask.
Joiners hit on Teddy Bridgewater. That's a good call. Real good call. Ruined him. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jerome, who do you got? Dirtiest hits.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, so I got two. I don't remember the players' names. It was like 20 years ago, but the horse collar on Terrell Owens the year he was with the Eagles, and they went to the Super Bowl.
That was the one that broke his
and
leg, right?
And the other one when the guy hit this receiver from the Giants. His name was Ike something. I can't remember his last
Hilliard.
Name. And he hit him. He was the ball already passed him, and then he turned around. He just teed off on the guy.
Yeah, I do remember that.
That's two plays right there.
All right, thank you, Jerome. We're up to 96. 713-780-ESPN. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Jeff, you're in the high. What dirty hits do you got?
Yes, hi. Going back about 55 years ago, the Chiefs' Lynn Nelson scrambled for 60 yards, and at the end of the play, Ben Davidson speared him, and it led to a benches-clearing brawl, which I believe led to the beginning of the Chiefs-Raiders rivalry.
All right, appreciate it. We'll count that as one, 97. Let's go. We'll go to the HRP listener line for Lance. Lance, you're in the Hive. What do you got?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? So I don't remember if there was any names, but what about Bounty Gate with the Saints back in the day?
Yeah, good call. Appreciate that one, Lance. Someone mentioned that one earlier, but yes, good take. We counted them for, I think, five. Fitzpatrick on Chubb. I don't remember that one.
I don't think we've mentioned. Have we mentioned Rodney Harrison? The hit he had on Jerry Rice.
No.
Oh yeah, Rodney Harrison.
Yeah,
was a headhunter.
He laid out Jerry Rice. This is obviously going back several years, but he had a really dirty hit on Jerry Rice.
I remember that play. I didn't think of it. Ray Rice versus his wife. We're not going to read that. You know better than to send that. We're not going to read that stuff. Joe Mixon. We're not going to say any of that. 713-780 ESPN ref throwing the flag that hit the Browns player's face, went through the face mask, right?
Yeah.
I think he missed games because it
he
hurt
did.
His eye.
Oh, he was never the same vision-wise. I think his vision was permanently damaged.
Elvis Dumervil. I don't remember specifically anything Elvis Dumervil did, but we'll take your word for it. Odell Beckham versus that one safety back and forth. Harding Nancy. Come on, that one's already been mentioned. Any sack on Tua, that's probably fair. James Harrison headhunting Colt McCoy. Yeah. Anybody that was in front of Earl Campbell running the football. Ryan Clark laying out Wes Welker, that's a good call. Aaron Hernandez murdering people. You know better than to send that stuff. We're not reading any of that. 713-780-ESPN. Yes, we mentioned Ngama Gunsu. Yes, we mentioned Haysworth. Karen Runyon had several. Absolutely. We counted Karen Runyon.
Ray Cruz had one. Actually, he had two, I think.
He also killed somebody.
Yeah, he did. Yes,
we're not mentioning that stuff.
That's the thing I'm not mentioning.
J.J. Watt's haircut last broadcasting season. 30th hits.
It was a bad haircut. The Super Bowl haircut he had, that was bad.
Yeah. We mentioned Tomlin bringing somebody down. Sheldon Brown hit it on Reggie Bush. Charles Martin, we mentioned that one.
Who was the offensive lineman for the Browns that laid out the referee? Was it Orlando Pace?
Yeah, it was Orlando Pace, but I think he laid out the referee because he got hit in the face with the flag.
Yeah, he claimed he got hit in the face with something. He completely laid out a referee.
All right, well, well over 100, and they're flying in. So I think it's fair to say that there's been at least 300 dirtier hits than what Azeez Al-Shaayr did to Trevor Lawrence based on our 15-minute
math
case study
out.
Here, right? The math is mathing?
Yes. Yes.
Over 300 dirtier plays. I mean, we got to over. We're probably at 125 in a matter of 15 minutes. 15 minutes. We're at 125 in 15 minutes. And there's a lot of text that I haven't even read. Like slates of text.
Guys, I think we leave this open to public opinion. That was my opinion at the time.
Mark Sanchez against his O lineman's butt. All right, we'll end with that one. All right, 713.
That was pretty sturdy.
Thank you all for your help, Hive. We have the best listeners, and this is why. We just came up with 150 dirtier hits than Azeez Al-Shaayr's hit, debunking a theory held by the general. All right, cashing or trashing. What are you cashing or trashing with the Bees? 713-780-3776. It is the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, a word from our good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville is the best in the business at helping you to get your hair back, and it's your own hair. It's not the gimmicks you see on TV. It's not all the different things that you know is not going to work for you. It's actually your own hair. He has a procedure. He's here in the medical center. He also has a way to kind of get the hair that you still have on your head to looking better and being better than it was or as it is currently. All I need you to do is go to 975hair.com if you're losing your hair, you've got pattern baldness, or you want to get your hair back, and just explore and understand that if you set up a free consultation on that, you are going to get it for free. People off the street pay $150, but they can sit down with you and explain how it works. It literally, from gardening terms, it's like taking and resodding your scalp and getting hair where you don't have any more. You're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head. I didn't know that till Doc told me. He takes some of that hair and puts it where you need it most. Some are experiencing hair loss up on top. Some experience it up in front. Wherever it is, he can help you too. It's fantastic. It works. How do I know? Because I've had the procedure. I've had the PRP treatments, and I've got the results to prove it. You could be next in line, and you get a free consultation that costs you nothing. There's no commitment, no signing anywhere, no money out of pocket, just you getting a question and answer session after they explain to you exactly what these procedures can do. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by because I believe they're the best in the business, and they're here locally in Houston. Just go to 975hair.com and sign up for that free consultation.
ESPN 97.5. Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
713-780-ESPN. What are your cash-ems or trash-ems? 713-780-3776. Lakers, what you got?
I don't know how you guys are going to feel about this one, but cash it or trash it, the Rockets still won't be a top six seed in the West.
Oh, my goodness. This is like your Packers take all over again.
No, it isn't. I still believe my Packers take, by the way. This is their schedule stuff. But I didn't expect the Niners to lay down and play dead.
Your take was that they're going to limp into the playoffs. You can't mathematically say that at this point.
The Rockets have a lot of season to play.
They got nine wins. They're practically already in.
I'm talking about the Rockets now.
I know. That's why I said it's like that take. Because, I mean, I guess there's way more season for the Rockets, so there's more time for this to come true. But they're playing so well. I got to trash it, too. I can't see them not being at top six.
You already trashed?
Trash.
I think it's more likely that the Rockets don't finish top six than the Packers miss the playoffs. I'll give you that one.
Right. This is a cash or trash. I'm trying to get a little
bit. I'll trash it. I don't think they're going to sustain this pace. They're in a 58.5.
Yeah, that's
pace.
What I'm saying. There are teams that get off the hot starts, but I just don't know how sustainable it is with some of the other teams that have been bad early.
How many wins would it have taken to be the sixth seed last year?
Round 50, I think. Oh, sixth seed? No, probably 40, 46, 47.
I think the Rockets pass that.
Yeah, 49. That's just a lot.
I think it's going to be close. So I think it's going to be tight.
Yeah, I'm going to trash it. I think they're playing good basketball. I think they're a really good
team. They are.
I think they're a really good team. So, and the fact that they've been able to get out to this lead versus the sixth spot in the Western Conference. I think that they're going to finish top six. I don't think Memphis is in third right now. Will Memphis finish with a better record than the Rockets? I don't think so. Golden State? I don't think so. Mavs maybe. Clippers? I don't think so. They're kind of old. Suns no, Lakers no, Nuggets. I mean, they're 10-8. They've already kind of put themselves behind the eight ball.
Suns won't.
I don't think so.
I think they will.
They're three games back now.
Can Durant stay healthy? Yeah. He's never healthy.
But they got three guys. I think that you look at the Clippers and say, if they get Kawhi, that's a big if. But if they get Kawhi back,
betting on Kawhi is like betting on McCullers at this point.
But they're getting more out of Harden than I expected. But I just think that they're Dallas for sure. Golden State, I think, is a good team to where I think that they're gonna still win. But I just think six might be too high. I think I'm believing more that they might legitimately be a top eight team.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to get to top six.
Cash or trash? Traffic is worse since daylight savings. Way worse.
Way worse.
Not even close.
Cash it and cash it in a big way. I can't believe it.
You're cashing this?
Oh, my gosh.
I never even had this thought. I don't even know how to form an opinion.
I don't know if that's the reason why.
Worse. 25%
worse. My drive home is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yep. Are you saying this every year or just this year?
I've noticed it this year.
It's just right now.
I've noticed it this year. My drive time is about an hour. It's been at about an hour 20 on average.
Agreed.
Since daylight savings.
You add 15, 20 minutes to my drive home.
You have something you're attributing to this?
The darkness. I think people struggle driving in the dark, quite frankly.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that the darkness adds to worse driving.
You know, when you first said this, I hadn't even thought about it to form an opinion. But as I'm thinking about it, I'm going to actually have to cash this because I, as I'm thinking about my commute home, it has gone from about an hour to about an hour 10, an hour 15 for the last few weeks. So
this guy, he was poo-pooing it when I said it.
I had to have time to think about it.
Gets there eventually. It's like all my
takes. It's also once people get stuck in traffic, too, then they get distracted. And if the darkness and they start getting on their phone, then they start swaying into lanes and ridiculous.
And
then they leave 50 yards of space between them and the next car, all annoying the hell out of them.
What you got, Brian?
My thought here is I don't know how far people were willing to go with the college football playoff and how quickly they're willing to do it. But at least looking at the field this year, I'm already ready to expand to 16 teams. I know people have a worry and a fear, and they had the same worry and fear when it was just at four teams, and the whole idea was to expand to eight, about watering it down, about getting to a point where the regular season means less, that, oh, you're letting these teams that don't deserve it serve it in. But you look at the teams that would be just on the outside right now, like 13 to like, you know, 13, 14, 15. You're talking about teams like South Carolina's been playing great. Ole Miss has been a really good team this year. You're talking about the team that loses the Big 12 title game. You're talking about BYU, who was having a great season before the last month. I think you're
– Miami? Miami.
Yeah, I still don't really like Miami. But Miami would fall into this category as well. There's a lot of teams in here that I wouldn't mind seeing in the playoff to where I'm already ready to expand to 16.
You're already ready to expand?
Yeah, I'd be willing to do it next year. I'm not seeing the drop-off in the quality of teams to a point where the games become uninteresting.
This specific season is the reason why you can get backing on that, because it's so wide open and because there's so many teams that we're still talking about that are fringy. If normally we had just the four dominant teams and nobody else, this might be a different discussion.
Be a different story,
but because
sure.
It's so wide open this year, I thought about it as well. Like, they might, if TV can find a way to sell it, I think that they would already look to expand it.
Yeah, I mean, more college football games that have huge stakes that are all top 16 teams. I'm for it. Sure, I'll cash it. Why not? Sounds like fun to me. Texter Trasher, he says Trasher Trash. Threw me off. Casher Trash. Alabama's not going to make the 12-team playoff.
See, I was going to say that when Brian was rattling off team names. I think they're going to get in.
I do, too, because I think the lose. I think if S. Well, I think they get in if Clemson beats SMU. I don't think SMU.
I think it's the opposite.
If SMU
wins?
I think
SMU makes it,
if they lose?
Mm-hmm.
Either way,
Clemson doesn't.
No, Clemson has to win to get in. But I think, I mean, obviously you disagree, but I think if Clemson beats SMU and hands them a second loss, Alabama gets in.
Then why does
them.
That matter for Alabama then? Like, if Clemson wins and SMU's out, and SMU wins
Clemson's
and Clemson
so
is
far
out.
Clemson's so far behind them already. I mean, Clemson can't.
But Alabama needs a spot open.
Yeah, well, the spot would open. Okay, I see what you're saying. Because there's
saying the loser's out regardless.
Yeah. That's true. That's what I'm saying. Is that if Clemson, I guess I'm gonna have to check the math on this. But there are teams, whether it be the Big 12, the ACC, where if teams lose and fall back, I think there's a spot for Alabama. I mean, they're already 11th. So this is the AP poll. But if that holds true with the college football ranking, 11th would be in the playoff. I mean, it'd be 11 teams plus Boise State.
Yeah, I take exception to the way you said that. Like, if either team's out, then Alabama's in. If the loser of the ACC championship game is out, then Alabama's already in. See, I think that SMU would make it if Clemson wins.
If UNLV beats Boise, Boise's out regardless?
Yeah, they're out. They've already got one loss, so they can't afford a second.
What's the Oregon?
I know.
No, I think they're
that's
out.
Just the I agree with your thought there. That
I mean, they're 10th in the country right now in the AP.
Yeah, they can't survive a loss.
Last week in the college football playoff, they were 11th.
They can't survive a loss.
Do you have another one? I have one more. We as a society have lost the ability to count. I've seen too many people think that December 15th through 25 is 10 days. D'Amico said it.
Yeah.
CJ said it. John McClain has said it. It's 11 days. From the 15th through the 25th is 11 days. Stop with the Texans play three games in 10. No, they don't. They play three games in 11 days. And it makes me sick.
No, so that triggers me as well. I see that all the time when people ask, like, how many days, and I'll count. They don't realize you actually have to count both dates as a part of that. They only subtract the higher number from the lower number, and they end up one short. It triggers me as well.
Yeah, it's bothersome. I don't like it. Casher Trash, grilled cheese is a top three breakfast sandwich.
Grilled cheese?
Grilled cheese for breakfast?
Trash.
Don't shoot the messenger.
I'll trash that.
Yeah,
I like grilled cheese, but not for breakfast.
I do, too.
Throw some bacon on it, then we're talking.
Too.
No, Joel. Why'd you have to ruin it?
Because grilled cheese with ketchup is great.
Trash, we live in the best time zone for sports. Just came back from Vegas, and football is way too early over there. Yeah, there's college football games starting at 9.
I know. That. I used to live on the West Coast, and it was fun to, like, bet on them and know that you could wake up and watch football. But it is kind of early.
I mean, it just depends. I guess this is really a morning person versus night owl conversation. If you're a morning person, you love the West Coast as your sports watching.
I would cash that Central Time Zone's the best.
I would cash.
Yeah, because I don't like 8 o'clock start times on football games during the week
either.
I hate
that.
3300. Expand the college football playoff to 128 teams so U of H can get in. Delete your account. Never text the show again. 713-780-ESPN. Broncos Browns. Your takeaways from Monday Night Football last night. It's the Bees. ESPN 97.5. ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Browns and Broncos played a football game yesterday. What'd you think of that football game?
It was actually entertaining. I enjoyed watching it. I was very intrigued by Jerry Jeudy and the fact that he surprised me. He can play. I mean, for everything that happened and how he was getting trashed and how I thought maybe he didn't have nearly what he had coming out of college, if you're a guy going back to your old team and wanting to flip up the double bird, that's the way you do it. That was impressive stuff.
It makes me wonder, though, like, why? I know you're not going to produce this type of game every single time that you play. Nine catches, 235 yards, and a touchdown. Sure. Why didn't this guy show up more often?
Right. I mean, look, like, we talk about guys' tickers and what's their makeup and why do you need the external motivation stuff. But what he showed you last night shows he could be a hell of a receiver in this league.
But I think it also highlights, like, the downside of him. Like, they talked about effort. They talked about his desire. Okay, well, this is an example of what he can be, what's happening in all the other games. I think that it also speaks to the criticism of Jerry
Jeudy. To that point, remember? He was a sleeping dog. And then all of a sudden, Steve Smith started ripping him.
Yep.
And it fired him up, and he started playing better for a while.
Yeah, yeah. So that was cool to see that game. Now, it did come in at a defeat. Jameis Winston, pick sixes, touchdowns. Like, he's definitely an experience. There's no doubt about that. It's amazing to me what Kevin Stefanski does with these washed-out quarterbacks, though. Like, Joe Flacco's no longer any good. Jameis Winston, quite frankly, has never been good. He's had some highs, like 30 touchdowns but 30 interceptions. Like, he's had moments. But Joe Flacco's a backup quarterback in the NFL, probably should be retired, and was retired, basically, last year, whatever they called him while he was on his couch. Jameis Winston's been going from team to team to team to team. Yet Kevin Stefanski gets those guys playing pretty good football. It's two things. One, I would keep Kevin Stefanski and give him a quarterback to work with. And then two, it also speaks to how bad Deshaun Watson must be.
I love this. I loved what was happening last night. I love Troy was able to actually speak to the fact that where would this team be if it was with Jameis Winston all season long and not Deshaun Watson, and point to the fact that both from a financial standpoint and an ability standpoint that Deshaun deserves to start facing all the music. I loved every bit of this. Jameis is a reality show between the speeches and the post game and, you know, and the reactions and the interceptions and the touchdowns. He threw for a ton of yards with six touchdowns and 400 some odd yards, like almost 500 yards. That's college numbers.
Yeah, he was. It was a fun game. And I didn't expect it to be like this high scoring game either. Broncos really good defensively. I think the Browns defense is better than the offense, although with Jameis Winston at the helm, it's been a little bit different. Now, the Broncos look like a playoff team, 8-5.
Yeah.
Houston, Denver, neutral field. Who's favored in that game?
I think the Texans are.
I think they're favored by like 2.5.
Yeah, I was going to say 3.
Yeah, 2.5.
I can see that. If it's less than a field goal, I understand it. But I think that the Texans have a little bit more experience on both sides of the football to where I would say the Texans.
Now, the Texans are more than likely going to host a playoff game should they see the season through and win the AFC South. There is a chance that they could be playing Denver at home. If they're playing Denver at home, are you confident they beat Denver at home?
I am.
Wild card round.
I am.
I don't know. Surtain, we've seen how different this offense is if Nico is not a big part of it, and if Patrick Surtain is able to lock him down. Now, he didn't lock down Jerry Jeudy last night, but he's locked down most of the elite wide receivers he's seen. If he's able to lock down Nico, I don't know, man. I think the Texans win. I'll pick them, but I'm going to be pretty nervous.
Yeah, I would be with you. Like, I think that the Texans win that game 6 times out of 10. But yeah, they're certainly capable of losing that.
Yeah, look, Denver's like made a believer out of me. You were the one that was on the Broncos more than anybody.
It's part of why I'm a little afraid.
Yeah, but I look at it and say, look, what they've done is impressive, but put Bo Nix in front of that defense with that pass rush, with everybody healthy, as healthy as they can be.
Sure. Yeah, I don't trust the Broncos offense.
I think that's a tough sell.
I don't trust the Broncos offense to be able to do a whole lot. It'll probably feel like that second playoff game against the Bengals that was like 13-10 as the final or whatever it was. It was pretty low scoring. That kind of feels like what this game will be with the defenses dominating, but I'd be a little nervous.
King of Twitch, these two hosts are as dishonest as they come. Denver would crush the Texans anywhere. They're just catering to the fans. Branham, can you for once not be a fan base appeaser? Blankers is senile, but you?
Oh, boy. That dude. That's your boy. boy.
He's not my boy. I've never met the guy. And he stiffed me once. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. I think the Rockets are the best team in Houston. They're the best pro team in Houston. Tell me I'm wrong. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin, it's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease, and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage, River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.